What's up, listeners? On this week's pod, Coin and I give out our galaxy brain takes on Odell Beckham and carving pumpkins. We'll recap week 7 in the NFL, including a huge win for the DC TBD and another incomprehensible loss by the Falcons. More importantly, Coin and I each rank the top 5 cuisines from cities with NFL teams. Lastly, week 8 picks and the Gucci Mane dog pick of the week. Let's do it.
Oh, yes.
I was a little slow on the crack on that one.
I know, it was an odd crack. Welcome, everybody, to The Rookie Show. That was the sound of a couple crisp brews being cracked, and this is the sound of one of your loving hosts, Travis Knoll. Joining me, as always, Mr. 503 himself, Dale. Elvis Zinner Go Home Coin.
That's not bad at all. Thought of that one on the spot.
I sure as heck did, Chip. What up, Coin?
What up, Knoll?
Oh, nothing, Coin. It is good to be back, as per usual. Hopefully we get as many laughs out of this pod as we did last week.
I hope so, too. That was, I really enjoyed myself. Like you were saying when you were editing, on the listen back, I know it might sound stupid to people, but yes, I do laugh at our own jokes when I'm listening back to it. Sometimes I just can't help it. The goddamn hoof thumb thing was just killing me. I could not get over that.
Hoof thumbs. It was epic.
Speaking of which, I looked at the poll right before this. Just an absolute slaughtering. I think it was true. Like 85 to 15 or something like that.
I'm not going to try to defend myself. This doesn't surprise me. I saw this coming a mile away. I knew what I was getting into with some of the picks on my list. Nonetheless, your list was very solid.
I liked your list a lot, honestly.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think Man, Bear, Pig, Acquired Taste... I mean, all of them are acquired taste. Flying Monkeys was a great pick, and then Bigfoot's an obvious pick. But the other three were just like, okay. You have to, like, tickle somebody's
fancy. You're really, like, trying to reach into our niche audience right there. The we did have some people talk about the troll from Ernest Scared Stupid, which I was like, wow, they're out there. Those people are out there.
Those people are out there. I'm glad. All right, let's get a rolling, Coin. Let's have our good buddy, TJ Hushmanzada, start us off. Teach, what do we got?
Hoosier.
Beers? Bad beats? Battlestar Galaxy Brain.
That is right, everybody. Beers, bad beats, Battlestar Galaxy Brain. It is time. Coin, what are you drinking this evening?
Knoll, I actually did switch it up this week. I am drinking... a Pilsner.
Oh, you actually did.
A new one, yeah.
You actually said it.
Oh, I didn't realize until right now, though, that it is from Rogue Brewing, who we do not stan anymore because they didn't get back to us on coming on the podcast. But it's a Rogue Brewing Yellow Snow. It's a nice Pilsner brewed with Alaskan spruce tips. It's quite tasty, and if you can see, it's got a dog who seems to have peed the word, the words Yellow Snow on there.
Right.
So that's really nice. It's a soft can. I would say it's pretty pleasant to look at, actually.
It is pleasant, other than the fact that you're looking at a bunch of dog piss.
But the dog's not peeing. It's not like you're seeing the dog piss. Like, the leg's not up.
And the implication is that you were drinking dog piss.
I guess it would have to be the implication.
Somewhat frozen, slushy dog piss.
Right. Looks like a Mountain Dew slushy from Target. But I assume it tastes better than that. It does taste better than that. It's a pretty good beer. I'm really enjoying myself.
Right. Good to hear. You kind of breezed over the fact that it was called Yellow Snow. I actually do like the name. I have to imagine they did name that. It's not like they named the beer because it tasted like Yellow Snow.
No, so you think that they had the name Yellow Snow? I feel like this is one where they almost even like designed the can, or one of the brewers was like in Colorado or something on a ski trip and pissed in the snow and like, oh, Yellow Snow, that's funny.
This would be sweet. Let's just find a random Pilsner and call it Yellow.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what's going on here.
Nonetheless, a decent beer.
Bingo. Noel, what are you drinking?
Coin, I also switched it up. I went with a hazy IPA, and I went with the Dogfish Head Brewing Company, and it is called the American Beauty Hazy Ripple. And it's about as opposite of a can as what you have, other than the fact that there is an animal. There is a nice bear. He is holding a balloon. Lots of bright colors, orange and pink and yellow.
Right.
And the balloon has a skull with a thunderbolt on its head.
That's kind of badass.
Not really sure what's going on there. But I think it's a very fun can.
I think so too.
I enjoy looking at it. Lots of designs.
And yeah, colorful. I would say I would have guessed that would have been a little too busy for your liking, but I actually like it. It's I think it's not busy in the sense there's not too many colors going on, which is nice.
I agree. I feel like if somebody described it to me, I would think that I wouldn't like it. But it's nice. I like to look at it.
I see that it's got like a bunch of words on the back, which seem to be like maybe the ingredients. I don't know how I feel about the word yeast just being on the can. Not a great word.
Would you prefer yeet?
Yeah, definitely would prefer the word yeet.
It's really just the description that like you'd find on a like wine bottle description of why it's good. Yeah. The end is, it's in celebration of our long, strange trip together.
It is a long, strange trip. I was thinking of, I imagine somewhere out there, there's got to be an India podcast ale podcast, right? That's got to be out there.
India podcast ale?
Yeah.
I guess it's possible.
Okay.
There are like way too many podcasts.
So many podcasts that are just about nothing. At least we have a vision.
We do have a vision. We like to rank and draft things, mainly food.
Mainly food. And monsters.
About, yeah. And monsters. Did you have some beers this week and or weekend?
I did have some beers this week and or weekend. I went golfing again on Saturday morning, as I'm prone to do, with Graham and Joe. And I hit the only birdie of the day. But we didn't have any beers for me to shotgun for our birdie juice. So, I had to take a nice little pull out of this bottle of Jameson that Joe just conveniently keeps in his bag.
Is birdies call for shotgun typically?
Yeah. Deal okay, with us, because they're so that. Far and few between. Like, if you hit a birdie, you got to celebrate it, you know?
I think it's few and far between.
Nope.
Yeah, definitely is.
Okay. Yeah, it does make more sense, doesn't it? But I also had some beers later that day when we were carving pumpkins on Saturday night. I wanted to do the really tiny face on the big pumpkin. I just think it's really funny. Like, I know it's been done a bunch of times. It's hilarious.
It's very funny.
So I wanted to do it, but I forgot that Graham had done it last year, and I'll be damned if I'm going to be copying Graham.
Right.
So I went with this weird little, like, either ghost-looking slash penguin slash little kid that could be dressed up as a ghost thing. It's a decent pumpkin. Anyways, it made our house feel very homey. I'm pretty happy with it.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Yeah.
I love hearing that. We also recently carved some pumpkins. It's a nice exercise. I used one of the... So did you use like a stencil thing?
No, I'm not a child.
Yeah, well, I did. So I just go fuck myself, I guess.
No, I respect the stencil use. It's a good move. Get your pumpkin right. Why not?
Yeah. No, it turned out really nice. I'll send you a nice photo. Kay. It looks good. Anything else?
Nope. That's it for my beers. What you got, Noel?
So quickly, before I tell you about my beers this weekend, I have a quick angle from the outfield.
Ooh.
It is from my roommate, Katie Essie. She came home today after listening to the first part of our pod from last week, and we were talking about the beer I had last week, which was called Juice Trials.
Uh-huh.
She said, "How did you not make the connection that sounds like an O.J. Simpson documentary?"
Oh, damn. That's good.
It is good.
They could do like a whole line on that. Like, you could go with a Pilsner that was called like White Bronco or something like that. And you could just go a bunch of different ways. That would be pretty cool.
Right. Bloody Glove.
Yeah. Ooh, that's good. Like a nice dark beer.
Or like the headless.
Oh, dang. I was just going to say like the head cut off.
Headless boyfriend?
Something.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly where I was going next.
But going back to my week, so it was our 5-year anniversary last week.
Oh,
so congrats to us. So we went out for to a pizza place that we've been recommended in Chicago, and it was pretty damn bomb. Maybe one of the best pizzas I've had.
Chicago style?
It was not. No, it was Neapolitan.
Okay.
Which is kind of a thin with some fluffy crust, basically. But before that, the beers we had, I had some beers at a bar that was serving hams on tap for $3, which was pretty sick. I did not order the hams on tap.
That's even that's even kind of expensive by hams means.
That's true. I did order an $8 beer instead of the hams for $3, so that just goes to show. Ham sucks.
Money ain't a thing.
That's true. Money ain't a thing. I say that all the time. That's all I got.
Okay.
So why don't we move on to bad beats?
All right. I'll just get this out of the way. I don't need to go into excruciating detail about how hard my life is as a Falcons fan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I saw all of the snaps and texts and Instagram tags of the people who were like, oh, the Falcons have lost 3 games this year in which they had a 98% chance to win, and the rest of the league combined has done it 4 times. It isn't fun. I had to get up and just walk away for the afternoon games for a little bit. So Nikki and I took her dog on a nice little, like, half-hour walk. Went and chatted, got my mind off football. It was exactly what I needed, you know? It's tough.
Overcame the bad.
Overcame, and I came back into football. And we're reconciling still, but I keep saying the Falcons can't hurt me anymore, but my God, can they?
It's remarkable. I can't imagine a team has had... Oh, it was 3 games, right?
Yeah.
It was Bears, was the other
Cowboys.
Lions and Cowboys. At 3 out of 6 games, to have that happen to you is just, it's unfathomable. To have that happen 3 times in 2 years is crazy, but I'm sorry, Coin.
Yeah, it's okay, I guess.
Any other bad beats?
No, that's my lone bad beat for the week. I feel like that was bad enough.
It's pretty bad. Can't imagine I was as upset as you were, but my bad beat came within seconds or maybe minutes of that game, and it was one of my picks on last week's pod was the Cleveland Browns -3.5, and Baker Mayfield threw a touchdown with 11 seconds left. It was an absolute pill.
It was
the side of the end zone.
Yeah,
I was so fired up. I was jumping up and down, screaming, going, woo, and just couldn't get enough. Sure enough, Cody Parkey, the infamous double doinker, comes in, shanks the PAT, and I lose my bet. That was a brutal beat.
Was pretty brutal. I think you texted us after that, and I...
Did you say... how did you respond?
I said, shut the fuck up. I could not handle anybody being like, God, that's such a bad beat for me after I just watched the Falcons give up a game-winning touchdown drive.
I thought it was a reasonable response by you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Not to mention, I guess, part of that bad Falcons beat was that I had actually bet on the Falcons this week because I liked them in the game. And I was kind of happy that Todd Gurley scored the touchdown because it would have covered the spread. And I was like, okay, here we go. So I'm looking decent. All we need to do is just not give up a 75-yard touchdown drive in 1 minute with no timeouts left to the other team, which seems to be impossible with my team. So, yeah.
I'm sorry, Coin.
Hey, man, it's okay.
It won't happen again.
Yeah, surely. Not multiple times this year more.
Okay, third part of our segment. Let's get to our Battlestar Galaxy Brain
Battlestar Galaxy Brain.
I'll go first.
Go ahead.
Cool. So, it's about pumpkin carving. Big brain. Carving pumpkins is a good and fun way to hang with friends and a decent excuse to drink some beer.
Good. I agree.
Bigger brain. Carving pumpkins to show off online that you're weirdly good at a very niche skill and to show off your work to the neighborhood, a decent flex.
Oh, weird flex, but okay.
Galaxy brain. Carving pumpkins was invented by skeptics who were wary of the impending robot revolution, so now we carve pumpkins and take pictures to remind robots what we are capable of doing to other inanimate objects, and we wouldn't hesitate to do to them.
Wow. Yeah. Sometimes the takes like gradually build, and sometimes they just jump like 19 levels, and that's one of these.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't rule that out. I have to imagine there's a lot of subliminal messaging on the weird traditions we do.
Definitely.
To keep robots in their place.
Yeah, of course.
So what would that would mean? We would carve a robot's head up?
Definitely.
And that's what he's scared of?
Definitely.
Right. Okay. rip it off of his body like we rip the pumpkins off the vine.
Mm-hmm. A real Ichabod Crane scenario.
Right. Yeah. And that's probably why they made that Will Smith movie, to remind them that we also have Will Smith.
Yeah, as long as Will Smith is around, we're safe. But right. when he dies, I mean, somebody's got to take his place.
That's a great point. Jaden?
I don't think it could be Jaden. It might have to be one of us. I don't have quite the requisite skills to be, you know, carving pumpkins to show them how scary it would be.
What would you set the line, the odds that you outlive Will Smith?
You know, with his high level of income, today's advances in modern technology, it's not crazy to think he couldn't live to be 245, maybe 300. I would say that I'm minus 300 to outlive Will Smith.
Minus 300, okay. What is he, 47?
Probably. He might be hitting 50. Okay. I think 47 is a good guess, though.
Okay. I would probably take, I would take you minus 300.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
To outlive him. Okay, I like the take. I think it's there's a lot of we can put a lot of stock in
52.
It. He's 52. Mm-hmm. Okay, I was way off. All right, my Battlestar Galaxy brain take is about my good buddy Odell Beckham Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Normal brain take. It's a real shame. Odell can't stay healthy because he was on a historic pace with his yardage and touchdown numbers to start his career, and he just has tailed off. That's the original take.
RIP to his ACL.
RIP ACL. Second take is Odell actually knows that with Baker Mayfield, he's never going to put up the numbers that he could with an actually good quarterback.
Okay.
The reason he knows that, with the Giants, he averaged 92.8 yards per game, which would be the second best mark in NFL history.
Behind Julio Jones.
Yeah. Nice. Jinx. With the Browns, however, he is averaging 58.9 yards per game, which is, hold on. Oh, yeah. Okay. That was what I was going to double check. It is indeed less than 92.8. He decided, I'm going to injure myself on purpose just so I don't keep crashing my yards per game down. Because right now he's still top five all time. It's Julio, Michael Thomas, Calvin Johnson, and Antonio Brown, then Odell. Only five guys over 80 yards per game for their career. So he's like, fuck it. If I don't play anymore, my yards per game stays the same. I'm just going to tear the shit out of my ACL.
Okay.
Pretty good take. The Galaxy brain take, however, is that on the interception, Baker Mayfield was sabotaged. There was a fan in the stands with a laser pointer who fucked up with Baker to make him throw the pick. It was none other than Eli Manning.
Oh!
Eli's goal was to get Odell in a precarious situation on an interception return so he would get hurt. He doesn't want Odell to have a chance to turn things around in Cleveland because right now, Odell struggling with Baker and killing it with Eli is one of Eli's best Hall of Fame cases.
Okay. That was the Galaxy Brain?
The Galaxy Brain is that Eli Manning sabotaged Odell's ACL.
I'm in on this, and there is definite potential here. Like, if anybody is going to be spiteful enough to, you know, he's got, like, little brother syndrome. Peyton was always better than him and stuff, you know? This checks out, I think.
The take could use some work on how Eli did it. The laser pointer theory, it has some holes, to say the least.
What if, you know, in those, like, the commercials where Baker lives at the stadium, there's, like, all the groundskeepers?
Mm-hmm.
Eli's just been impersonating groundskeepers and, like, messing up the turf and stuff, just waiting for the moment that Odell steps in a certain spot. And he, like, notices where Odell has been playing a lot, and he's like, oh, right here. This is going to get him.
I like that. Shouts real quick. This is technically an angle from the outfield for my good friend Ryan. He thought of a good idea for one of those commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Is Baker comes home to the stadium, and his wife is messing around with Case Keenum.
Jeez, it's a dark. I don't know if Baker would sign off on that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but it's a candid camera type scenario, and then they air it anyway. And then it's like, your life's ruined, Baker. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Sorry, buddy.
All right. That has been Beers, Bad Beats, Battlestar, Galaxy Brain. All right, Coin. Other than your disappointing Falcons, let's get a little recap of week 7 in the NFL. before we get to three things that piqued our interest from the week, how did you do on your favorite team, your gambling efforts, and your fantasy efforts?
Well, Noel, I actually had a pretty decent week gambling. So last night, I ended up being about plus 90 bucks in the week, so pretty good.
I don't know why you like downplay it. That's like a fantastic week.
It's a pretty damn good week.
$90.
And I thought, so I placed a couple extra bets last night on the Monday night game because I wanted to get over 100. But I'd forgotten to count our Thursday night game, so I was already over 100, and then I bet myself out of $100. So that was pretty good. Right.
Such is life.
Yeah. But then I kind of kicked ass in both of our fantasy leagues, including our college one. I beat the unbeaten McGinn Squirts, which is pretty good.
McGinn Squirts.
And then, of course, the Falcons just holding me back from ever going 3-0, which is great.
That's pretty good. I don't know if you heard, but the Washington football team put a beatdown on the Dallas Cowboys.
That they did.
Which, if nothing else could happen to me the rest of the football year, and the Skins put a beatdown on, Washington football team put a beatdown on Dallas, it would be a good year. It's just, there's no better feeling. I don't care. They got Andy Dalton and a bunch of dudes off the street playing offensive line. I don't care.
Don't care.
It doesn't matter. It's still Dallas. It's
still Dallas.
So, of course, the Skins won. Two of my fantasy teams won. I did lose to Annie Kurtz, unfortunately, in the other league. That's okay. I'm counting that as a win, 2 out of 3. Unfortunately, I was only down $2.60 going into Monday night and decided to throw some money on the freaking Bears. Bad bet. Bad job by me.
Not great.
So only lost $10 on the week, but technically a loss. So
the Rams were actually the last part of my three-leg parlay that the Falcons ruined, and I had the Rams -6, so that would have been a nice winner on the week.
Sorry to hear it. Yeah. Coin, why don't you start with one thing that piqued your interest from week 7?
One thing that piqued my interest from week 7. Cam and the Pats, not gooned. Cam looked truly awful in that game against the Broncos and even worse against the Niners. I know that the Pats have basically no offensive weapons, but my God, he is missing every single throw. I think they pulled him more than he got benched just to not have him out there anymore. But we have to wonder if the Hawks game was actually just kind of a fluke, and is our Cam rushing touchdown bet in jeopardy?
I'm glad you brought this up. This was number 2 on my list of 3 things that piqued my interest. The question is, Cam done again? Because in the Seattle game, he looked definitely 100% all caps back. He looked awesome. I mean, really, he was good the first 3 weeks. They beat, I think, Miami, and then they beat, they whooped up on the Raiders, who we think might be decent.
Mm-hmm.
So something happened in the last 3 or 4 games where he just looks totally shot. I don't know what happened. I still don't think, no matter what, as long as he doesn't get like an injury shutdown, there's no way he doesn't rush for one more touchdown the rest of the year.
Right.
Even if he's the backup, they'll bring him in on the goal line.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, he's at least a utility. Like, the way that the Saints use, what's his name?
Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill at the very least.
Unless if Cam gets benched, then he just thinks that'd be a slap in the face and refuses to go in on as a gimmick player. But at some point, like, this is his last chance ever. If he flames out like really bad this year, he's going to be 100% done. No other team wanted him.
No.
And this is why.
No.
And it's really sad. He was so good. I hopefully just is tweaked. I saw some stats about how when he was hurt the last couple of years, he like couldn't make throws to his right. And the past couple of games, he hasn't been able to make throws to his right. So maybe people are making excuses, but there is some potential indication that he's got like this foot injury that just will never go away.
Yeah. Sad. I really hope he's not done.
Agreed. What you got for number 2? That was also one of mine.
That's good.
I'll let you go again. Yep.
My number 2, Kenny Golladay, the real deal. If I was a Lions fan, I would be so much louder on every single forum and on all like Twitter and stuff about how freaking good Kenny Golladay is. He catches everything. He roasted the Falcons all day long. Yeah, we have a shit defense, whatever. But he's a straight up monster. He mossed like our cornerbacks 3 times. He was catching everything low. He's running by everybody. And I really think that he has like a decent claim at being the best wide receiver in the NFC North.
Best wide receiver in the NFC, kind of dropped the expectations on that statement when you threw an NFC North.
Yeah, but I mean, they have like Devontae receiver. They have like Devontae Adams and Adam Thielen, and you know.
Yeah, I would probably agree if it wasn't for the fact that Adams just put up a stupid game this past week. Right. So, but yes, I haven't watched enough of Golladay. How do you feel about the name Kenny Golladay?
I think it's cool.
Okay.
I don't know if it's I don't know if it's a receiver name like we're used to right now, but yeah. It's a cool name. The word the name Golladay, like yeah, I feel like there's like a like an all day you know all day AP thing. I feel like there's something there with Golladay.
KG's kind of taken.
Yeah, it's true.
Kenny, is there a South Park Kenny reference we could do?
Kenny. there's something with Golladay and Day in there, I think.
Okay. Golladay.
Golladay. Ooh, like Golladay Kenny. Day. Yeah, have a day. Yeah, I got that.
Golladay Kenny.
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody else gets it.
No, it's not.
Okay, good one. This is a bit of a long one here, but I just wanted to point out that we got some absurdly fun and crazy endings to games this week. Starting with Thursday Night Football, Daniel Jones falling down on the 80-yard run was hilarious.
Hilarious.
They still scored. But then the Giants blew an 11-point lead with 4.5 minutes left on a pill by Wentz, very similar to Baker's pill, to little tiny Boston Scott on a wheel route.
That was an
incredible end.
That was a dime.
It was a dime. A dime. Carson is so bizarre to watch. He just like, there are times where you're like, this dude is a top five quarterback in the league. And sometimes you're like, this dude is lost. He shouldn't be out there. Then the early slate of games, while you were watching the Falcons blow that game, there were like four insane endings going on within like minutes of each other. Mm-hmm. And watching like Red Zone during that was so enjoyable to me. Starting with, this one was a few minutes before, but the Panthers-Saints game was actually pretty dang good, and Joey Sly, the Panthers kicker, attempted what would have been the longest field goal of all time, a 65-yarder, and came up, like, inches short.
He drilled it, and it was down the pipe.
Drilled it. And I was telling Katie, I'm like, is that the first kick in NFL history where, like, all the fans are, like, actually happy with the result of a missed field goal? They're like, that was an awesome kick.
Yeah.
There's like nothing else you could have done. That would have been an inhuman make. So you did great.
If they were on the 64, does that go in? At least hits the crossbar, right?
It hits the crossbar. Yeah, I think a yard probably gets him there.
Yeah.
So that was probably the least exciting of the four I'm about to bring up. The Steelers blew a 20-point third quarter lead, and then only for Steven Gostkowski to miss a 45-yarder with 19 seconds left, which was, I had Steelers. That was my only winning bet of the week, and that would have been brutal loss. Then, like, seems like seconds later was the Baker-Mayfield game. Burrow and Baker, between the two of them, had 5 go-ahead touchdown passes in the fourth quarter. That's insane. I know they shared that stat, but talk about a back-and-forth game. Then you had your game where Gurley accidentally scores with 1:04 and Stafford throws a tug as time expires. So just a ridiculous few minutes of football. And so Katie and I do a picks pool every week, and I'm sorry to tell you that we picked Detroit. And so all four of those games were games that we picked correctly in the picks pool. So we're just like, yes, yes, you know, shit's going crazy other than the missed PAT by Cleveland. So very fun. And then of course the Sunday night game between Seahawks and Cardinals was fucking insane. Russell Wilson throwing picks and dudes missing field goals and horrible clock management. And yeah, I just think we're blessed. Some good football.
Some good football.
If you have a chance to take a step back from the Falcons, you
No, I definitely could appreciate it. And that the Sunday night game was like so fun. I was watching, I saw right before we did the podcast, I saw What the Fuck Stats posted something about how it was either the first time this season or first time, I don't think it was first time ever, but a team won without ever having led at any point during the game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds about right.
So.
It's, I also bet the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Which you warned against.
But. Yeah, I did warn you against that. Kyler Murray is so fast.
He's so fast. He's one of the dudes that you see and go, that dude is on a different level athletically.
There's I also like, really like the clip of him smiling right before he throws to DeAndre Hopkins. That was awesome.
As if that was like an easy throw.
No,
that he like knew he was going to make.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a tell. Yeah, that was awesome. And then obviously the DK Metcalf play, have to mention that, because that dude, speaking of dudes on another level athletically, when he like
he first starts takes running off,
it's so terrifying.
There's very few players that look like that when they start to run. It was like very Julio Jones-esque, like takeoff, like the, it looks like a horse like running, you know, you're like, oh my yes. God, like this guy is like an athletic specimen.
That's like the only way you can describe it. It did remind me, like, you could tell how much effort he was putting into, like, how bad he wanted to get it. And you see dudes all the time on a football field, like, try, like they're really exerting themselves, but they just don't go faster. But he, on the other hand, just goes into sixth gear.
I wish we could have had, like, the thoughts projected from Buda Baker's brain when he was like catching up. He's probably like, what the fuck, are you serious?
There was a good Friday Beers clip of that.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. All right, my last one,
number three. Yeah,
Tom Brady's receivers. He has all these weapons on his team: Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Gronk, but consistently this year his go-to dude is Scotty Miller. He leads the team in receiving yards, and I think he's done so in half of their games this year. It's weird. And I get that AB is coming in, and even if he's like 80% of what he used to be, and he's probably going to replace Scotty Miller, but won't he be double covered? They would try to use him exactly the same, but he's going to draw more defense, and I don't know if that necessarily makes their offense better. You know what I mean?
I'm curious to see how AB fits in, and I'm sure AB would be an incredible slot receiver, but he was majority of the time an outside guy with
Ben.
So I don't know. I can't imagine it like ends with him on the team, you know, going far. I don't think it derails them. I think he probably flames out, probably does something stupid.
Yeah.
I think this team, just having Brady means that they could survive something like that. I worry about, like, I didn't want him to go to Seattle. I thought that would hurt Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think so, too.
You got enough weapons.
Seattle's it's such a culture team.
Right, exactly. And even, like, they're, like, David Moore, some of those guys they have, they're pretty damn good.
Exactly. And they get so much use out of, like, utility guys. It's like Jacob Hollister always has three catches for 45 yards, and you're like, oh, that was huge.
And that's the thing, too, with Tampa Bay, is, like, they're never going to lose a game because of lack of receiver talent.
No.
So I don't really see the risk-reward there with AB. At some point, if you have two incredible receivers and some great role players around them, there's just not enough. There's too many mouths to feed.
Exactly. I don't know. Yeah.
Seems like too much risk. But we'll see what happens.
We'll see. Cheers.
Scotty Miller, though. Shouts.
Scotty Miller.
My last thing is the Dallas Cowboys are 0-7 against the spread. An incredible feat, and makes me so happy. Only two teams ever have started 0-8 against the spread, and that was the 91 Bengals and the 2003 Raiders, fresh off a Super Bowl loss to John Gruden. That's nuts. I think I saw the line wasn't on Bovada, but I think I saw they're going to be like a touchdown underdogs to Philly on Sunday night.
Do you think, is that going to get flexed out, or they have to keep it in because it's the Cowboys, right?
I don't know. I feel like they would have already. I think they'd do the flexing like on the Sunday night prior. So sounds like it's going to happen. I don't know. Those games are weird. I'd be kind of inclined to bet the Cowboys, even though I think they're total dog shit.
Cowboys with points or Cowboys straight up?
With points. Oh, with points, definitely.
Oh, they're not winning, no.
Oh, no. Well, honestly, you get some pretty fat odds on a 7 or 8 point spread.
They also just traded away their only good defender, so.
Right. Hey, they got some dudes, but they got one of their three good defenders.
Yeah, the Ofer against the spread is so wild. I think that the Falcons might also be like only like 1-6 against the spread. So, but it's hard to do. Like, even the Jets have covered the spread now once this year against the Bills, which is unfortunate. But
we'll get to the. Are we going to get to the Jets line?
Oh my God, we will.
We will. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Coin. Let's break up the football briefly. Sort of football related. Are we giving shouts to who gets credit for this?
Yeah, of course.
All right, why don't you introduce it then? What are we doing?
All right, so this comes to us from avid listener and friend of the pod, Quinn Mahoney, who we have frequently referenced his tweets. Great Twitter account. Give him a follow at Quinn Mahoney. He wanted to know what we would do for the top five or a draft or a ranking of NFL cities and their cuisines, like city-specific ones. So not necessarily the food that's in the stadium, but like what is emblematic of the city that the football teams play in.
Correct. And that's because, from what you told me, Quinn, when he watches football, he likes to put together meals from teams that are playing that week. Now, every team plays every week, pretty much. So
I think it's playoffs. Playoffs is what he said.
Oh, playoffs. Okay, that's better. I thought he like looked at the schedule week two and like, oh, New England's playing this week. Let's make some clam chowder.
Clam chowder time.
They'll play 16 out of 17 weeks. Okay, that makes more sense. I like that a lot. I like that. When I texted you, he's weird. Then
I know.
Quinn, you are weird. You are a little weird. You are a little weird. If you listen to this. Oh, we love
But so I gave this to you and I was like, there's again no criteria. Rank this however you want to.
Right.
Whether it's like most food you like the most, whether you think it fits the city the most, whatever you like.
Yep. Okay.
So we're gonna do our top five here. Do you want to go five down or one down?
I think we go one down for this one.
Okay.
Because we get the big guys out of the way and then we start getting into the fun stuff. Okay. Right. Are we just you want me to go first?
Yeah, you or me, it doesn't matter.
Okay, I'll go first. You or me? Is there another option?
Did
you want to go?
No, mine. He's good.
Okay, I will go first. I personally think there was two choices for me I could have gone with here. Agreed. I am going to roll with the Philly cheesesteak as number one. I would be incredibly bummed out if I was not allowed to have Philly cheesesteaks for the rest of my life. It's definitely one of my favorite foods. No matter where I am, even if I see it on like a damn Arby's menu, I'm like, that looks good. So, cheesesteak feels like it should get the top spot for me.
Right. I agree that there's basically two options to pick one, two.
Yeah.
I ended up going with Philly two.
Okay.
So I'll just give my criteria for why.
Yeah.
So you can certainly argue that the Philly deserves to be number one here on flavor alone. Like, again, like you said, like the Philly cheesesteak is always just an awesome option. I ordered one last weekend. Mm. It was phenomenal. Mm. Phenomenal.
Of course.
I dropped it to two simply because of how amazing it is. There isn't really anything that inventive, I guess, with the Philly. No. The defining trait is that Philly's is made with the cheese whiz.
True.
I actually prefer mine with the provolone.
Okay. I was going to ask you how you like them. And yeah, then like what veggies do you go on yours?
Oh, give me the grilled bell peps. Maybe some hot peps on there too.
What about onions?
Yeah.
Okay. Onions is without question. Some people don't. The green peppers are, I don't think an original Philly cheesesteak.
I don't think so either.
They call it a pepper steak, I think. I go onions, green peppers. You know, I'm good with switching up the cheeses. I probably would also lean provolone, but... depends on my mood. No mushrooms, though. Keep those fucking
mushrooms. Keep the mushrooms off. It ruins the texture, flavor profile. I'm not into it.
I agree. Some hot peppers every now and then, some jalapenos or something. I had one from Jersey Mike's the other day that had jalapenos on it. It was very good.
Jersey Mike's makes a good sub.
So I'll let you go number two first, then.
All right, perfect. I'm going to go buffalo sauce / buffalo wings, number one. A food that has nearly become synonymous with football, and for that very reason is why I selected it. Buffalo wings were said to have been born in Buffalo at the Anchor Bar in 1964. The owner of the bar cooked leftover wings and hot sauce as a late-night snack for her son and his friends. It has bloomed into a sensation that people travel to try, like you to Fort Collins. And as of June 2017, there are now 1,238 restaurants donning the name Buffalo Wild Wings.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah. I like the combo of great with football, in a football city. I mean, just everybody enjoys them. I love Buffalo Wings. You know?
Right.
I feel like
right,
I crave exactly. them. It's a food that I crave more than I thought I would.
Yes, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Wings feels like in a vacuum should probably be number one. My question is, I assume you've never had wings in Buffalo.
No.
My inclination is to say that I can't imagine there's anything about the wings in Buffalo that make them better than a great wing spot anywhere in the country, right?
Probably not.
I think there's more you can do with a Philly cheesesteak, the way that you prepare the meat and the type of bread that you use and the type of cheese that you use and the freshness of the ingredients. There's a lot of ways where you can make the case that, like, the people in Philly do it the best. For wings, it's pretty much the way you cook the chicken and the sauce you put on it, which feels like people could do that, find ways to do that really, really well anywhere. So that was my kind of one. Again, we have no criteria here, but I'm docking Buffalo wings for the fact that I don't think they're as good in Buffalo as everywhere else, or they're equally good, I guess.
I guess you would have to put that same argument to the Philly cheesesteak with Philly. I don't know.
No, I just made that point. I'm saying there are a lot more things that Philly cheesesteak restaurants or can do to change it and make it the best ever. I think there's these places in Philly that take so much pride in it, and that's their whole thing. Sure, there could be a Philly cheesesteak shop in California that makes the best Philly cheesesteak. I just think it's more likely, it's harder to claim to have the best wings ever than the best Philly, because they're all kind of similar.
Yeah,
I don't know if it makes sense.
No, I think it does.
But wings are two. That's the point.
Okay. All right, give me your three.
Number three for me is a no-brainer. I don't know if you'll have it on your list. I'm curious to know. I'm going to go with Baltimore crabs as number three on my list. You, I believe, had Maryland crabs for the first time with me. And
I did.
That was in probably Maryland. Yeah, we were near Baltimore.
Yeah.
Basically, it's agreed upon among the crab community. Not the crab people, per se, but the people who like to eat.
Crab people. Crab people.
Right. That would have been a good name for the Redskins. Maybe we should be the Washington Crab people.
The DC Crab people? Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Baltimore has the best crabs. Maryland in general has the best crabs. My family's from there. Every time we go back there, that's one of the highlights of the trip, is getting crab, cracking them open. I think we found out that Maryland doesn't do butter and DC does do butter, which
West
I'm okay
Coast.
With
West
either
Coast
way.
Is the butter thing.
Oh, okay.
I think that East Coast is straight Old Bay.
I want to say DC does better, but either way, Old Bay, you got to get Old Bay on there, and that's my third pick.
That's a good pick. It's one of my honorable mentions. Mm-hmm. You know, it was crab cakes, because crab cakes in football, that's what Maryland does.
That's a phenomenal point.
Yeah. I think it's a good pick, and it's synonymous. I like it. For my number three, so I tried to go mostly with foods that had the city name in them.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
know why.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So number three for me is Nashville Hot Chicken.
Mm.
It's in Nashville, Tennessee, obviously. I didn't really know how much to put into a lot of like my explanation here. So what I did was I found origin stories for a lot of these.
I like that. I'm glad you put that out. I didn't do enough research here.
So the origin of a hot chicken is said to be one of a... with a woman trying to get back at her Playboy boyfriend, Thornton Prince, who had cheated on her. And so she loaded up his normal Sunday meal of fried chicken with spice, trying to ruin it for him. But instead it backfired and he loved it. Also, hot chicken just bangs.
You know,
so good.
I can't say that I've had hot chicken, really.
What? How do you do a spice?
I love spice. It's great.
Okay.
In fact, so Katie made some Asian Zing chicken wings last night, like that she tried to we're gonna use the Instapot, but we ended up not, but made the sauce that's supposed to be like Buffalo Wild Wings Asian Zing, and they were really fucking hot, and I really enjoyed them. They were probably a little too hot for Kitty.
I feel like I'm always on the search, especially here. I'm always looking for like a new hot chicken place.
Gotcha.
It's kind of like become, I don't know, you could say it's my thing, but I definitely am always leaning towards hot chicken. If I'm looking to order out something, or if I'm gonna go somewhere, I'm like looking for best hot chicken places.
Is it like fried, like on the bone, or is it like strips?
Fried, and then usually it's like a boneless thigh, I believe.
Thigh breaded.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. I give it more of a shot before I put it on my list.
I think so too. And I this one, to your point, I think that people in Nashville probably do make it better than anywhere else in the country. Like, it's hard to find good hot chicken here.
Yeah.
Like, I've tried it a few places, and in a lot of it, I would say, like, it's probably, like, a 25% hit rate on it being like good hot chicken.
Right. I think there are a lot of holes in my buffalo theory, but you're probably right. For some reason,
I liked your theory though. It's like a good thing to bring up.
I feel like maybe it's because more people around the country have the desire to make awesome chicken wings and like hot chickens. Right. Not to overuse the word niche, but it's a little niche.
Oh, I would say so. It's like buffalo wings, everybody's like, oh, I could try a few buffalo wings. Sometimes when you get like the hot chicken sandwiches, like after a couple bites, they kind of fuck you up.
Right.
Like you're like, my eyes are watering and I have to like take a break and I'm like doing the, you know what I mean?
Doing the what? Okay. Good pick.
Thank you.
Here's a questionable one here. This is where my list turns.
Oh, good. Mine is also questionable.
I'm going to go with the city of Los Angeles, who hosts two teams. I don't know if you know that.
Okay.
And I'm going to choose In-N-Out Burger. Pretty iffy take. I understand that In-N-Out Burger is in other states. Definitely originated in Southern California. Definitely what people know it for. And the two go together very well. It's not a specific food. It's technically a restaurant chain. But I think you'll probably recall there are no rules and there is no criteria for this list. So it's
that's
kind
exactly
of
right.
Hard
and an
for
important
you to
thing
tell
to remember.
No. Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to tell you no on this. It's a good pick. I was definitely thinking more dish-based, but yep. I like the pick, the idea of it.
Right. I think that's my only one that kind of branches out in that regard. But yeah, my list is pretty, at least the first four picks are pretty much exclusively picked on like what I want to eat. Like when I was making this list, what sounded the best. So that was my criteria.
That totally makes sense. Because I considered like, I couldn't do San Diego anymore anyways. But I was considering like one of those places for like tacos, like you could on like LA tacos.
Right.
Supposedly having like the best tacos in the
US
and stuff.
I think In-N-Out is like more widely known and thought of as an LA thing. So
I respect it. That's a good pick.
Okay.
Mine is also a little out there, I guess.
Okay.
But I have an explanation.
Let's hear it.
Mine will be chicken and beer. The city of Atlanta, Georgia. This is a pick based on what one of the greatest rappers of our generation, Christopher Brian Bridges, a.k.a. Ludacris, tells me is quintessential Atlanta food. Before he hit it big with his Oscar-worthy acting in the Fast and Furious franchise, Chicken and Beer was Luda's fourth studio album with the smash hit Stand Up. Luda even opened a chicken and beer restaurant in the Atlanta airport. I don't know if you remember us walking by that.
Of course I remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I feel like that's even further out than the In-N-Out pick. But
that's fair. Totally fair.
But I really, really respect the effort and what you did there. Usually when you go into detail on some of your picks and things, something gets fixated in my mind. And this is what got fixated this time. Where would Ludacris rank on the all-time rapper rankings if his first name had been spelled C-H-R-I-S? And that's how he also spelled Ludacris with an H.
It would go down. It would no question go down because it is spelled C-H-R-I-S.
Oh, but he took the H out.
He took the H out, yeah.
That is a genius move. Is that one of the best moves of any rapper of the 20th century?
I would say so, like changing the spelling like that. That was a must do. Well, the only thing I could think of is if he had gone by Luda Topher instead, but he wouldn't have done that, right?
Luda Topher, without a doubt, would not have been a hit rapper.
No, I don't think so.
Good pick, chicken and beer.
Thank you.
All right, my fifth pick after much deliberation, and believe me, I have much more to say after my fifth pick.
I can't wait.
I'm going to go with the San Francisco Sourdough Bread Bowl. Whoa, you didn't see that coming at all,
did
you?
Not from a million miles away, no.
I think you and I have talked about how awesome bread bowls are. They're pretty bomb.
Bread bowls fucking slap.
Have you ever had, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had soup in general? Have you ever had soup?
I've had soup.
Have you eaten soup before?
I've eaten soup before, yes.
Have you ever thought to yourself, this bowl I'm eating the soup out of, I wish I could also eat this.
Imagine if this bowl was soaking up soup the entire time I was eating it, and it was just better than the actual soup by the end.
I've often had the desire to rip off a piece of my bowl and dip it in the soup.
Right,
and
like
I just can't do that
bowl.
With a typical porcelain bowl.
Correct.
Right. So I'm going to go with the bread bowl for the ingenuity.
is San Francisco where bread bowls were originated?
Without a doubt. Sourdough bread is all about San Francisco. Look it up. I lived there for 2 years.
Okay, great. I don't know if I believe you that bread bowls were
originated. I don't know if they originated, but they're San Francisco. Okay, hold on. Where were bread bowls invented? Dublin.
Dublin, California or Dublin, Ireland?
That's a good question because there is a Dublin, California. No, it was in 1427, so...
That doesn't sound like Dublin, California.
Hold on. Where were sourdough bread bowls invented? Which is what I... San Francisco! Boom! Okay. First thing on the list. And that's exactly what my list is.
That's a great pick. I fact check you, and you absolutely pulled through. That's good. Pick.
All right, thanks.
I love bread bowls. They're delicious.
Yes. Underrated.
Shout out Wheat Montana. They make a great bread bowl.
Sourdough bowls make the list along with poutine on lists of food where I eat it and I'm like, why do I not eat this more?
I don't give enough. I think we've talked about this on here. I didn't enough respect to poutine.
I know. It's French fries with gravy on top.
I love gravy.
Are you kidding me?
What's the best soup for a bread bowl?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. Probably something with like some creamy potato or something like that.
Yeah, like a potato leek.
Right.
Or potato bacon soup or whatever.
Well, I prefer it not to leak. I'd rather have it stay together, but...
Boo.
No?
Boo.
Okay, all right. I tried.
What about like a Chipotle chicken corn chowder?
Yeah, I mean, all of them would be good.
What about...
Tomato? All right. What else you got?
Number five. My fifth one. Your hometown. The Chicago dog.
Okay, interesting. I'm going to get to some thoughts on this.
This is a pick based mostly off me liking to say Chicago dog. Hot dogs certainly aren't specific to Chicago, but they do fit the entire mold of the Midwest. The only shocking thing is that it has vegetables on it and not just a mound of cheese or chili like the rest of the Midwest would prefer.
That's very true.
They do things right, though. Slam it with onions, relish, pickles, tomato, celery, salt, and then mustard. No ketchup on my dog, please. I am no longer 6 years old.
That's exactly right. Chicagoans do not put ketchup on their dogs. I believe you missed... Did you say sport peppers? Because there are sport peppers on there as well.
I didn't put them in there just because I wasn't sure if you knew what they are. Come on.
I'm wearing a White Sox shirt right now, bro.
True.
Of course I know what that
native
is.
Native now.
This would be a fantastic time for me to branch off onto my unprovoked three food ranking of hot dog on Menchie's.
Oh, I love it. Go.
Number one, Chicago dog, exactly what you mentioned. And again, this is an incredibly biased list. Number two is the California dog.
The Dodger dog?
I may have mentioned, not the Dodger dog. I lived in San Francisco for a couple of years in the Bay Area, and I think they have this in LA too. The little stands outside the stadiums after you you go to a game or something, they have little carts. And they have bacon-wrapped hot dogs and the grilled peppers and onions. And then they throw ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise on that bitch. And
anything with mayonnaise is just going to be a win for you.
When you've had six beers at a baseball game, San Francisco Giants game, you walk outside and you just smell them cooking. And it's just $5 cash to the lady. They are so damn good.
Okay.
So that's number two. And then number three, the Seattle dog. Grilled onions and cream cheese. Are the two main ingredients. You can also throw on some jalapenos on that bitch, or perhaps some sriracha even. Some little spice.
Perhaps.
I haven't had very many of those, but it's got cream cheese on it. There's not much more you can do.
I haven't had a California dog or the LA dog or whatever it is. I think I would just, by knowing how much I love Seattle dogs, I would just put them second over the California
I think that's
dog.
Very fair. California dogs aren't anything like super innovative necessarily. Personally, I love the mayo, and I'm not a big bacon guy, but it's just just the way they do them, onions and peppers. So that's my hot dog on Menchie's.
I appreciate that you threw that in there. It's really big,
totally
actually.
Separate from my real on Menchie's.
Okay, great. Well, let's get to our real on Menchie's.
All right, so let me quickly say I'm pretty surprised that no pizza made the list, including Chicago-style deep dish. I think it's probably just because neither of us are big deep dish guys.
Right.
Be the reasoning. I think you could also argue New York style slices, which I very much considered. But this is one of those things where there's too much good za everywhere in the country.
Right, exactly.
And
you know, it was funny. I was looking at some like websites to say like what the food is for the city the NFL team is. A lot of them attributed the New York style pizza to the Jets, not the Giants.
That's very interesting. So mm-hmm. did that make you less likely to put it on your list for some reason?
No, it didn't at all.
Just I'm a fun just fact.
Yeah.
Well, I am now a Neapolitan pizza expert, so I only stan Italy when it comes to my pizza. So
Italy.
None of this American bullshit.
None of this American crap. When we were carving pumpkins on Saturday night, we didn't want to go order a big meal or whatever or cook anything, so we got a DiGiorno from the grocery store here.
Yeah.
And we got the garlic crust one. Phenomenal.
Is so it really? Good. I don't think I've had it.
So good.
Is it also a rising crust or is it a different one? Okay, because the DiGiorno rising crust are bomb. But now there's also
a rising crust garlic bread pizza.
Gonna have to try that.
Good. Yeah, it's really good.
All right, give me an on menchie coin or a couple or however you want to
do. All right, I gave you my. So I only have two. One of them was crab cakes for crab cakes and football. My other one was Seattle's best coffee.
Huh.
Coffee is fantastic. I have it every day. Every damn day.
Do you think the coffee in Seattle is better than other places?
It is literally the best thing the city of Seattle has to offer. It's right there in the name. But it still isn't good enough to crack the top five.
Yeah, that's a questionable pick. I had, at least as a question mark, is sushi, would you attribute that to Seattle in terms of somewhere in the United States?
I feel like sushi would either be an LA or a Miami thing.
I'm certain it's not Miami. I don't know why you think Miami. That's like the farthest you can get from Japan in the United States.
Right.
It's definitely West Coast. Have you ever been to Seattle? It's all Asian people.
That's true.
It's a 100%.
That's true. Yeah. I've never had sushi in Seattle, so maybe it's really good.
That's a movie, isn't it? Sushi in Seattle?
I think so.
Yeah, neither have I. I just had a question mark on that one. My two on menchies are, which you mentioned in your text, jambalaya from New Orleans. I'm not a big Cajun food kind of guy, necessarily, but I had some good jambalaya. Some shrimp and some sausage and some rice.
Scrimps. I can get behind scrimps and sausage.
Right.
My jam.
And then lastly, here's a fun fact. Cuban sandwich. Believed to originally. Yeah, there you go. Tampa. So, you know, what's funny is I put it on here thinking this probably is a Miami thing. And then I looked it up. It was Tampa.
Me too. Shouts. I was going to put it on there because I was like, oh, for sure. You know, Cubans, Miami. That's the thing.
Cuban sandwiches Tampa. Are good.
I love Cubans. I also considered putting it on there just because I love Cubans so much.
Right.
I just don't know. Had it been Miami, would it have been in the top five for you?
No.
Okay. No, I think it may have for me.
I think not. Well, doesn't that defeat the whole purpose of a list if people don't know that it's from Tampa? It's supposed to be like foods that are known for being from that place.
Exactly, exactly.
Like everyone knows that sourdough bread bowls are from San Francisco. So it's like...
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, shut up. If Cubano had been Miami, I'd have been like, yeah, Cuban people, Miami.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Or what if the country of Cuba had a football team?
Then it definitely would have been on
there. Right. It would have been top three, probably.
But I think a Cubano is like an Americanized thing.
I bet you the Falcons would blow a lead to the Cuban football team.
Okay. Nice.
Okay. I have two dishonorable mentions, and then we're done.
I have one.
Okay. Give me yours. It's probably the same.
I have the Denver omelet.
No, I love Denver omelets. What's your beef with Denver omelets?
That the city of Denver isn't even known for their Denver omelets. I'm not even sure it came from there. So this dish actually used to be of Chinese origin and was sort of a transportable egg foo young.
Oh.
At some point, the breadless version was developed and it became known as the Denver / Western omelet. Appropriation! Also, I'm just bummed the city isn't known for it.
Okay. I see. So it's not so much beef with the taste of the food. It's just beef with the history.
Yes.
Ham and green peppers.
It's good. I like Denver omelets. But in all the lists, it wasn't like, hey, Denver, you know, Denver omelets. Like, there's not a Denver burger or whatever. Is there?
Denver's like the guy, the friend that's like, oh, yeah, I came up with this. And then it's like,
oh, he's you. Denver is you.
Well, I was kind of thinking that's you.
No, I don't think so.
All right. I also have a Denver dishonorable mention. Rocky Mountain oysters.
Oh, nice.
Right. But they're testicles. So
right, balls.
They can't be on the list. And then I put New England clam chowder, also dishonorable mention. I just don't like it.
I don't really like clam chowder.
No. Don't give it to me. Give me it.
Nope.
You know what's the worst soup in a bread bowl?
Clam chowder.
Clam chowder.
Yeah, that's right.
That? Yeah. You should have asked me about that.
You're telling me that after I finish this slop, I have to have more of it on this bread? The bread that was going to be the only thing carrying me over through this goddamn clam chowder? No, thank you.
Well, if you're in San Francisco, you turn around and feed it to the birds.
Oh, this
one's for the birds. You can't feed a regular bowl to the birds. Think about that.
I've tried. Well, they're robots anyways, so.
All right, that has been City Food Rankings, NFL City Food Rankings.
Correct.
So I'm sure we missed many.
Please let us know if we messed up, Quinn. Is that what you had in mind?
Right. Hopefully that pleased you. And let us know. We'll give you an angle from the outfield if you thought of ones better than we did.
Cool.
Okay, finally, Coin, it's time for our Week 8 preview and our bets of the week. Of course, we're going to start it off with some hashtag teaser night football. It is your very own Atlanta Cuns traveling to Carolina, and they are 3-point road dogs. The over-under is 49. Do we even have to discuss this?
No.
We don't. It's going to be the Falcons and the over.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, good. This will be a quick one. Cuns plus 9 over 43.
I wasn't sure which way you were going with that. I thought you were for sure going to go teasing the Panthers to minus 3.
In fact, I'd like to even sprinkle on a Cuns plus 3 over 49 parlay.
Oh, that I'm very interested in.
Okay.
Everybody knows that the teams in the NFC South lose at home and win on the road. Falcons lost at home to the Panthers a few weeks ago.
Yep.
They will win in Carolina.
It's definitely true. I have come around and I'm willing to admit that the Panthers are a prideful and frisky team that true. I'm not trying to lay a ton of points with.
When I will say McCaffrey is back.
They were, I think, worse with McCaffrey.
Oh, interesting.
Record-wise.
Okay.
0-2, and then they rattle probably off 3 straight.
Okay.
Okay, well, that was easy. Let's do a quick Week 7 bet recap. How did you do?
I had a pretty good week. The Packers, minus 3.5, which was my money maker. They were in pretty much every bet I made this weekend.
Fantastic.
I ended up putting like $40 on them just straight up to win the 3.5. Nice. That was nice. And then I also had the DC TBD.
Yes.
Absolutely railroading the Cowboys. I wish I had bet on it.
Slaughter.
And then I gave myself a halfie. I said Bills minus 13.5 or at least in every money line parlay. So the Bills did not cover, but yeah, of course they won.
Right. Okay. Wait, so you're saying that was technically your bet, but you only really betted in money lines?
Yep.
Okay. So technically
but two. I also gave out the money line. So I gave myself a half. 2.5.
2.5 out of 3. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
For my second straight week, maybe third straight week. No, just second. Went 1-2, an absolutely brutal beat on the Browns, minus 3.5, as has been discussed. I did win the Steelers. Looked like it was going to be an easy bet. By game time, Steelers were underdogs for some reason. So I had them at minus 2. But and then I had the Seahawks minus 3.5, which really was a horrible beat as well. Not only did they blow a 10-point lead with 2.5 minutes to go, they were going to win by 7 if it wasn't for Benson Mayoa getting a personal foul and basically costing me a lot of money. And so as I
that's
said,
that's a weird rule. I can't believe that was a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah.
So 1-2 for me. So give me the first game that you like this week.
All right, first game I like, Noel. Bills, minus 4 at home against the Patriots. This line is probably 2 to 3 points lower than it should be. Patriots offense has looked god-awful for 2 weeks now, and the Bills defense isn't necessarily a step down from the Broncos and Niners. I think it's also lower because the Bills couldn't score against the Jets, but that seemed like a pretty typical looking ahead to the Pats game. I like them to win big and probably by a couple touchdowns.
I'm so happy that you did this here. So here's my first note of the pod. There's two fishy lines this week that I notice, and I actually have it at Bills -3.5 over the Pats. Okay. Agree with everything you said. The Pats looked straight up bad. They haven't looked good since week 3. The Bills are at home. Their only losses this year are to Kansas City and Tennessee, who are probably two of the four best teams in the AFC. It feels like history is what's keeping this from being a 5.5 to 6-point line. I agree with everything you said. Before I make a pick, I'd like to point out one other line that feels a little fishy to me. Baltimore Ravens are -3.5 over the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm not really sure why the Ravens are getting an extra half point. It's weird. It doesn't really make any sense. In fact, I saw on a website that in some places this line opened up at Ravens -5.
Yeah, it did. When I was listening to the Simmons and Sal podcast, it was -5.
That doesn't make any sense to me. It seems like they're getting respect from last year's Ravens team. Pittsburgh's getting their wide receivers healthy. So I just pointed out those two things. I think something fishy's going on here. I think Vegas wants everybody to bet the Bills. I think they want them to bet the Steelers. My first pick of the week, Patriots +3.5 at the Bills. The argument here, other than what I just laid out, is that this, as I said earlier, this is Cam's like last chance, like probably of his career, back against the wall. Does he have one game in him? Maybe not, but I like to trust him one more time. Belichick, I understand this is his worst team he's ever had, but I don't know if you know how bad he owns the Buffalo Bills.
I'm aware.
He's won 7 in a row against the Bills. That's by far not as impressive as the fact that he is 35-4 all time against the Bills.
Oh, no. Poor guys.
Poor guys. He owns them. I still think Josh Allen is a little bit of a fraud, so I'll be taking the Pats. So good. We're opposing each other.
I like that.
And then one of us will be right, and one of us will be wrong. And then let me roll right into my second pick. I'm going to be taking the Ravens -3.5 for the same reasons. The Vegas thinks everybody's going to jump on the Steelers and win all that money. I'm not buying it. The Steelers all season have let shitty teams hang around, including the Titans, who are good, but also the Eagles, Texans, Broncos, and Giants have all almost come back and taken care of the Steelers. They didn't quite do it. Lastly, not all coaches deserve the benefit of the doubt of coming off a bye week, but I think John Harbaugh definitely does. And getting 2 weeks of prep should matter in this case. So there you go.
I don't hate it. I understand the pick, and I agree that there's something weird going on.
There's something weird going on. These lines don't seem correct. And the smart person would just take the free points, but not me. Fuck you, Vegas.
Fuck you, Vegas. All right. My next one is an actual overs teaser. Oh, 6-point teaser here. So with my overs teaser, I would like to tease Hawks and Niners over 48, Titans Bengals over 48.5, and Larm Dolphins over 40.
Okay. Any specific reasoning there?
Yeah, just the Niners seem to be finding their groove in the running game, and they break off chunk yards. The Seahawks can't really stop anybody, but whenever you have Russ, you should just bet the over. It's coming.
Yep.
Titans-Bengals, this is a Titans team that just gives off chunk plays like nobody has seen, and I think that Burrow is kind of finding himself. I actually don't even hate Bengals +6 this week. It's not a bad play.
Not a bad play.
Larm and Dolphins. The Larm and Bears game we just saw last night was one of the worst offensive games I've seen in a long, long, long time.
It was ugly.
And I think that the Dolphins defense is bad enough and the Dolphins offense is good enough to make up at least 14 points there, and that gets us over 40.
You think they're better or worse in game one with Tua?
I would say that they're probably, if Fitzpatrick plays this game, I would almost guarantee they win. With Tua, I don't think they win, but I think it's close, and I think it's in the 20s.
Okay. The overs, baby. Keep going with those overs. My third pick is also a teaser. It is an absurd 5-team, 13-point
Jesus.
Good team versus bad team teaser. We are teasing the Packers up to +6 against the Vikings. We're teasing the Kansas City Chiefs down to -6.5 against the Jets.
Yeah, that line is 19.5, in case anybody was wondering. 19.5 points.
I did see a stat that it opened at 21, and teams that have been, the last like 10 teams that have been favored by 20 or more are 10-0 straight up, 3-7 against the spread or something like that. Mm. So oftentimes the big underdogs cover there. So I'm teasing them down to less than a touchdown. Teasing the Titans up to +7 versus the Bengals. Okay. Teasing the Tampa Bay Bucks to +2 against the Giants. And finally teasing the New Orleans Saints to +9 against the Bears. An absurd tease that only gets you -105 odds.
Oh, with five teams?
You bet. Let's do this.
Oh, my God.
My reasoning here, Packers are good, Vikings stink. There's no way the Vikings win by a touchdown. Chiefs, if they don't win by a touchdown over the Jets, I don't know what to do with football anymore. The Bengals, I agree, could beat the Titans, but there's no way it's more than a touchdown. Titans are too good to get blown out.
Totally fair.
Bucks are definitely going to beat the Giants. Giants blow. The Bucks are great.
Giants suck. Giants definitely suck.
And we just watched the Bears offense, and you're telling me that they're going to beat the Saints by 10? No, they're not.
No.
So
no,
there you go. Not. It's five shoo-ins. It's free money.
It's basically free money. You can't argue that.
I think any gambling expert would tell you that a five-team 13-point teaser has to be like the worst bet you could possibly do.
Definitely.
But I'm personally guaranteeing it wins.
I love the boldness of it. I will tell you that.
Okay, I'm trying to switch it up here on the Rookie Joe Pod.
My last pick is actually one of those. It's just Bucks -10.5 and over Giants. Brady might have some animosity towards the Giants still.
Oh.
And I feel like more than one person brings it up again this week. Giants are just bad. They're not good. And the Bucks seem to really be hitting their stride. Gotcha. I think that this is a beatdown.
Are we concerned at any Eli Manning sabotage in that game?
Ooh.
Think about it.
Are there any ex-Giants on the Bucks we have to worry about?
Now, let's think about this, though. Wouldn't his move be to ensure that Bucks kick the Giants' ass so it makes Daniel Jones look worse?
So like, we're hoping Tom for the twice. Eli.
Right.
Right, right, right.
Okay.
Okay, I like that.
Okay, lastly, it is time for our Gucci Mane dog picks of the week.
Bring us in, Gucci.
Recap from last week. Both losers. Yeah. I thought both of our teams showed some gumption.
Some heart.
The Jags, really, they had a lead late in the third quarter, and then gave up a 70-yard bomb and then fumbled the kickoff. And then the ensuing kickoff, the dude, shattered his leg. So it just wasn't a good for D.D. Westbrook. And then your Raiders, how did they do?
The Raiders had it close for a minute. I think going into the fourth quarter, it was 24-20. And then defensive touchdown, gave up another touchdown. It got rough quick. Ended up being 45-20, I think. It was pretty bad. But I think it was honestly closer than the score.
It was closer. I agree. Yeah. I think different breaks, that could be a close game. I think things break differently for the Jags. They could win that game. Alas, we're both losers.
Yep.
The standings, it's 2-1 me. I am 3-4 on my picks. I'm 4-3 against the spread. Coin is 1-5 straight up, 1-5 against the spread.
Right.
Who's first this week?
I think it's me this week.
Okay.
So, Noel, I know you said this is a fishy line. However, I will go ahead and take the Steelers, who are +3.5 points and +170 on the money line at the Ravens. I think that anytime you can get an undefeated team as underdogs, I think the general rule should probably be to just take them. This is a really good Steelers defense. They lost one of their best players, Devin Bush, but they're still rolling. They look incredible still. I know that they gave up a lot of yards to the Titans late and gave up some late points. these division games, though, they're so heavily contested. This would be one you could probably look at betting the under, too. I know against the Ravens, you don't ever want to do that, but this is going to be like a heavy hitters battle, and I just think that the Steelers pull this one out.
Okay. So we have at least two bets this week that we are opposed on. And granted, mm-hmm. both of those bets are me just throwing logic out the window. So
yep.
it's going to be interesting to see which strategy prevails here. I'm going to go with, it seems like every week this pick I make.
Wait, what did you give my pick,
though? Oh, I apologize. I'm going to give your pick a
That's what I thought you might. Okay.
Because I agree. The Steelers should not be 3.5-point dogs. So, yeah, good reasoning there. Every week I seem to one-up myself with a pick I hate even more than the previous week. So, that said, I will be picking the Detroit Lions plus +3 at home against the Indianapolis Colts. Here's my reasoning. The Lions might be kind of good. I don't know. You just watched a whole game of them. Are they not? I understand that barely beating the Falcons is not an impressive thing, but you look at their schedule, like, they've done some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What are they? What's their record? 3-4?
Something like that.
I mean, like, they're frisky. I think on a given night, they could beat 75% of the teams in the league. Indy is, I always bet on or against them and started the year really cold, but the last pick I made was a good one against them. I just, I don't think, by the logic that the home team should get 3 points, I don't think Indy is 6 points better than Detroit.
Right.
I think people think Indy's better than they are. They haven't really beat anybody good. And I think people just assume Detroit sucks because of their past 20 years, 30 years, ever.
I will say that the Lions are a very good running team. And they have a very good running defense. They have a very good run defense. And I think that the Colts kind of can rely heavily on having a really good offensive line, feeding the ball to Jonathan Taylor sometimes. And if you can get Phil flustered,
just traded for Everson Griffin.
Yep.
So, honestly, I don't love the pick. I just like the value of 3 points at home to teams I think are evenly matched. So,
I was making a face. I don't want to bet on any Phil games anymore.
Yeah.
Just until I can tell, like, an actual direction they're going. So, I'm going to give your pick a...
I appreciate the... I was expecting a burr, to be honest. I agree. I told myself the last time I bet on a Phil game that if it lost, it would be the last time, but I won. So I'm now on a streak of I'm going to continue to bet them until I lose, and then I'm done until the next week.
Smart.
Until
next week, might as well. Right while it's hot.
Okay. That's going to do it for another episode of The Rookie Show.
Ooh.
Please tell your friends about us. Give us some ratings on Apple, or I guess if you like Spotify, if you're into that kind of thing. You can follow us on Twitter or Instagram.
You can indeed.
Rookie Show Pod.
You can indeed.
We got some clips going up.
Yep. Polls. We're recording this. Hopefully, get some images of us out there. So, we look really nice.
We do look nice.
Showered before this.
I didn't.
Okay.
I'm cleanly shaven, though. Hadn't shaved in many months. Where can they follow you, Coin?
You can follow me at King Coin on both Instagram and Twitter.
You can follow me at TheCreamFillin on Twitter. You can follow me at CTravisNoel on Instagram. The C, of course, Coin, stands for cheesesteak.
Oh, cheesesteak Travis Noel is quite the name.
That's got to be in the running for my first son's name, probably.
I was going to say that. That's either got to be your son or, like, that would be a cool nickname to earn somehow. I'm not sure how you would get the nickname cheesesteak, but...
Do you think I should name my son middle name Travis, have him go by Travis, but just a different... name that starts with C for his first name.
Yeah.
Okay.
People are like, oh, Chris C. Travis Noel, like, Junior? He's like, no.
It's cheesesteak.
Cheesesteak Travis Noel.
Okay. Who was it? Billy Joel last week?
Yeah.
We're getting all kinds of things. Play us out.
Luda!
Ludacris!
Oh, yes.
Sick. All right. See you later.
Everybody.
Peace. Yeah.
the goddamn reason you in VIP. CEO, you don't have the CID. I'm young, wild, and strapped like T.I. Lee. Blah! We ain't got nothing to worry about. Whoop ass, let security carry him out. Watch out for the medallion, my diamonds are reckless. Feels like a midget is hanging from my necklace. I pulled up with a million trucks, looking, smelling, feeling like a million bucks. Pass the bottles, the heat is on. We in the huddle, all smoking that Cheech and Chong. What's wrong? The club and the moon is full, and I'm looking for a thick young lady to pull. One short shot way to get him out of them pants. Take note to the brand new dance like this. When I move, you move. When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
Hell yeah, hey DJ, bring that back.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
Hell yeah, hey DJ, bring that back.
Go on with your big ass, let me see something. Tell your little friend he can quit me mugging. I'm lit and I don't care what no one thinks. But where the fuck is the waitress at with my drinks? My people outside and they can't get in. We gon' rush the back door and break them in. The owner already pissed cause we sorta late. But our time and our clothes gotta coordinate. Most girls looking right, some looking a mess. That's why they spilling drinks all over your dress. But Louis Vuitton bras all over your breast. Got me wanting to put hickeys all over your chest. Come on, we gon' party tonight. Y'all use mouth to mouth, bring the party to life. Don't be scared, show another part of your life. The more drinks in your system, the harder to fight. When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
Hell yeah, hey DJ, bring that back.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
Hell yeah, hey DJ, bring that back.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Damn right the fire marshal wanna shut us down. Get us out so someone can gun us down. We was two songs away from getting some good up. Now we one song away from tearing the club up. Move over! Luda got something to say. Do it now cause tomorrow ain't promised today. Work with me, let's become one with the beat. And don't worry about me stepping all over your feet. When I move, you move. When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
Hell yeah, hey DJ, bring that back.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
Hell yeah.